Arratsalde on, buenas tardes a todos. Bienvenidos a la...
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the press conference of the film Alanis in the official section of the 65th San Sebastian International Film Festival. To talk about the film this afternoon, we have the pleasure of having the producer, Laura Huberman, screenplay writer, Javier van der Kutte, the actress, Sofia Gala Castiglioni, and the director, Anahí Bernetti, who returns to San Sebastian for the third time. It's the third time she's competing in the festival, and also she was here in the jury in another year. Thank you. Welcome to all of you. And perhaps before asking a question, could you tell us, as we've got the producer, the screenplay writer, the actress, and the producer as well as the director, could you please tell us your point of view of how the project started and how it emerged and how it started? And who wants to start? Well, okay, well, I'll start. The producer's going to answer. Well, this project emerges from a short film that we filmed about a year and a half ago, a short film that came through the Foundation Sujai and PGI, which are Argentinian foundations, and we got the money. And seeing when we started to show it, it was so well received that we decided to do a feature film. We presented the project to the Cinema Institute along with Varsovia Films. We financed the film and we decided to carry out this project, the film that we made. We filmed them in 3 weeks. It was a film, an urgent and quick film, because Dante was growing and we had to make sure we filmed as quick as possible. And that's it, more or less. That's how it emerged. To a certain extent, the project started to play an important role because of Sofia Gala playing the leading actress. We thought it was a very attractive character that she had to interpret, to portray. And then behind the film, there's a lot of enormous amount of work, of research, and working with different associations of prostitutes, ex-prostitutes, with people who work in the street, and that with along with Javier van der Kutte, the screenplay writer, we worked with that material and to look for common experiences and seeking and exploring what were the exploitation mechanisms and stigmatization and the role the institutions carried out in Argentina. This project came to me as a short, initially, short film, and I proposed that I should talk to my son. And I thought it was a great idea, the proposal, because I think it was very important to show the body of a woman in both sexually as well as the maternal side of a woman. And the truth is, it all worked incredibly well. We all had a great time in the shoot. We enjoyed it. It was a tough shoot, nevertheless, at the same time. But it was almost Amazonic, so to speak. A lot of very powerful and strong women under control of the whole project. And my son, I don't know, it was almost magical, almost very magical, because he was a year and a half old. It's crazy what I could say. He understood what we were doing there, almost. But to a certain extent, it all coincided that when Anahí says, let's make a feature film, I thought it was very important to tell the story. Well, adding to what has already been said by all of them, the three women, my proposal came through the Anahí's and then the short film, and I thought it was an invitation, a marvelous invitation, to be able to construct this character, Alanis, as is the name of the film. And also the most interesting thing would be, the script is the prior work, and that, albeit through the shoot you continue to work, but the field work and to be able to construct, shall we say, this character, which is a load of girls who we saw before that in the prior work. And that's it, more or less. Thank you very much. We've got questions, please. Over here, yes, over here as well. Hi. First of all, I want to congratulate the actress, Sofia Gala. It's quite believable, the character, and you've portrayed the character very well. And secondly, I'd like to say that the field work is very well done as well, because it's also quite believable. Why do I say this? Because I'm an educator and as well, and I have worked in this collective, in this world, and it's exactly the same as you show it. It's survival at the end of the day, so therefore I liked it, and that's what I would like to say. That's all I wanted to say. Congratulations. Thank you very much. We're very happy it was premiered this week, this Thursday in Buenos Aires, and they've taken it as different associations have taken it on as a standard, shall we say, a prostitution association, prostitutes association. They feel identified and they're defending the film. I'm in two associations, one in Madrid. He's saying something about two associations. I'm sorry, he's not using microphone now. But please take the microphone if you'd be so kind, sir. Oh, we can hear you better. And I want to say the sex workers, women sex workers, many of them want to work in this field and others don't. So there's a common denominator, and what is that? Is that women who work in the as sex workers should be, they should have social security if they want to work there, and to not be surviving as much as they can over time. Yes, they should have the same right as any other worker, and that is something that we wanted to show in the film, where this woman is not a victim. All the contrary, she wants to exercise and carry out this work, and the problem, the enormous problem that comes along is all of a sudden when it's a job which has no sort of state support or backing or any type of rights like any other, shall we say, regular type of work. Well, what happened to us is that one doesn't have a solution. There are many women who dedicate themselves to prostitution, and they don't want to do so, but they've got no other way out. And there are other women who choose it. Amongst other options, that quite often is an extensive range of things, but generally in the film, we portray a woman who doesn't have too many options, nor many ways, other ways out to make a living. But in every other, in all of the cases, among all of the people who talk about the abolishing prostitution, and some people don't, and some prostitutes talk about abolishing it, and some about legalizing prostitution. In both cases, we've seen the same, encountered the same difficulties. That is to say, the institutions persecute them, stigmatize it, they hide the problem. The problem is very close to poverty, so therefore it's another way of hiding poverty. And on the other hand, with a lot of moral hypocrisy, on the other hand, what happens is they all are afraid, in every case, that they take the son away from them or their children away from them. So therefore, in the case of your son of a bitch, which is the worst insult, that we try to use those terms a lot. It's an insult in the film because they say it amongst themselves. They call themselves sons of bitches. And even and a certain denominations of power as well in the sexual encounter, shall we say, in the hotel, stigmatizing and naming and taking dignity away from these people simply because they do this work as sex workers or in the field of prostitution. Yes, there's a question. I'm working from Brazil, a very good film, congratulations. I would like to know a bit more what your work was like with your DOP, because I liked how the frames and how it was shot, especially in the last sequence, which was very well done. Could you talk a bit about that? Well, the photographer is Luis Sens. With him, we had worked thinking about going to run from the idea of a close-up, that facial gestures is the only thing that are transmitted in camera and in cinema. We believed that in all of the staging, the camera should be at the same height of Sofia's tits or at the height of her son in arms. But we believed that the whole body communicates things there. We wanted that body to compose that and fit it into the frame. So therefore, the whole staging is done in fixed shots, but there was the character never stopped moving it. So we had to provide a certain amount of rhythm to the story through Sofia's body and very precise positions within the frame. So I drove her crazy with all her marks, where she had to stand, where she had to lie down, and so on. So therefore, I felt two steps, a little step forward, a little step back, a little step to the right. So therefore, the poor thing, apart from having to work and portraying and taking care of her son, to say the words right and concentrate, she had a lot of things, a lot of cues to follow. And we had no problems in cutting off heads and using the reflections and mirrors so that in a certain way give a depth to the frame, but we also thought we were doing something that was metaphoric, let's say deconstructing the character, which happens with the final scene where she ends up being like a big shell or a big, and you can only see her backside. And what happens in the scene, in the mirror, in the bathroom, where she's a lot of anguish, and we use with it's a double screen, it's a split screen scene. So therefore, there are many shots, detailed shots that we wanted them to give meaning to the working world with certain fantasies upon the labor world and the working world and the courts, for example, when she says there's a map of Argentina which shows the country's resources, and you see the hypothetical worker in that province that represents that province, or an Eiffel Tower to think of a boutique. That is, say, what is the cliche, to work with cliches of the from the working world and from the character's world? Yes, we had another question over here. Hi, good afternoon. I would like to know about the locations. How did you look for them to show those areas that were so turbid and so dark in the world of prostitution? Well, okay, when Laura, I said, let's go to the plaza that is Cereve, which is a plaza, which is, it's a plaza where there's a lot of transit. They say there's the greatest amount of street prostitution every day, 24 hours a day, where the police coexist, so to speak, and is a lot next to them, and controlling the plaza. And we were shooting, for example. Everything happened. One day we arrived and we were filming, and they had just stabbed a man in the ear who was bleeding, and it had been a 9-year-old boy, and basically he was challenging him, because you're taking the position of my violent authority, as is the police, and challenging them and saying, what are we going to do now? And the boy had stolen something from it. It's a jungle in that plaza. It's a place where there's a deep concentration of the whores, the police, poor people, ambulant, people who sell things out on the streets. So it's quite a heavy situation. It's a heavy situation in that square. So therefore, or plaza, sorry. And then there's a documentary spirit. We had to film it there. There's a lot of hidden cameras, and it was well received as well of many people who live in that plaza, as well as sellers, people who sell things in the street, as well as the prostitutions. People who saw the film, we told them we went there to film them, to tell them. Some of them received it well, some didn't receive it well. It's an area where Dominican prostitutes work there, and you can see in the film there's a denomination of certain territories that are marked off, and there's a fight because of territory. That plaza is taken by the Dominican immigrants who are taken quite often, who are fooled and betrayed, and they end up becoming prostitutes in that plaza, and so many of them participated in the film as well. Hi, I would like to ask the three women, or the three ladies on the panel, better said, that the film, there was an urgency to make it 3 weeks. It was shot in 3 weeks, so therefore, what I would like to ask you, whether that urgency is due to the situation of women in general, not only prostitutes, where in Argentina there are cases of violence, family violence, and every day it appears on the news, and there are an enormous amount of significant crimes that have to do with gender crimes, especially against women. I would like to know whether your opinion was that urgency was due to the fact that what's happening in the world and in Argentina, well, especially as the film is Argentinian. Yes, I think we would have to differentiate gender violence and prostitution, and as well as in abortion. In Argentina, to see and to think they are not always, they're not the same problems, and it's not the same problem of women trafficking and prostitution or procurement. So therefore, we had the need of making the film or to give a voice. The urgency was a commitment on our behalf, a certain sensitivity vis-a-vis this issue. The truth is, we didn't start it. When I received the project, I said no. And Laura, I said, no, no, no. And then I delay the project quite often. And even if it's a problem from a feminism standpoint as well, a feminist standpoint, and nowadays it happens where a film that has just been premiered in the Buenos Aires, I'm receiving a lot of messages from people who are in favor of the film, and many, many people who don't, and who believe that prostitution should disappear. I'm not saying that it should disappear or not disappear. No woman should be a prostitute because of need to survive. It is not. I'm not defending prostitution, thinking that it's a marvelous place. No, I think if there are women who decide to do it and they believe that it's a place for survival, they need dignity and they need protection, and to be able to choose upon your own body, that a woman can choose about her own body, and there's no one behind you to judge whether the decision is okay or not, depending on, based upon a moral issue, they say that anyone is making you do it or whatever. But there are many women who choose it as a job, and that's what we wanted to show in the film. Yes, the urgency issue that you were referring to before, what we did live through after interviewing several prostitutes in different situations, choosing it and not choosing it, there's an urgent situation in Argentina and several countries throughout the world. We showed it in Toronto, and they also said they're going through the same situation in Canada. So therefore, the state is not taking charge of these women, neither on one direction or the other. So therefore, they're in an urgent situation, several of them. So choosing it as a job and not choosing it as a job, it's an urgent situation because they're not backed by the state. So therefore, that for me is what, yes, there's a certain persecution where in Argentina, the truth is said, there are treaties that have been signed where you can't persecute prostitution, but it's not legal to exercise it anyway. So therefore, it's the same as here. They enter into the house, into the private houses. They close the places. They ask for permission as a spa or as a massage parlor, but that's all just to make money from them. And then legally speaking, what happens is, just like this woman, they take her as a for procurement because it's easier to think that every prostitute is a victim of procurement because the truth because it goes against their will. They're all victims. Okay, any other questions? Yes? Two questions, once again from Brazil. Excuse me for my Spanish. For Anahí, could you talk a bit more about the documentary reference that you've used to construct the language of the film? You've used a reference to a specific documentary or not, whether you refer to a specific documentary or not. And Alanis is a film about prostitution. It's a film about a mother's love for her son. But I believe it's a film about the body, the right that one has of doing whatever one wants with one's own body. What's it like to film a woman's body in an ethical context as is the issue that this film addresses. Well, I'm going to start with the second Wiggins. I want to thank Sofía Gala to allow, she allowed me to show her body and do it in a way, in a real way, in a true way. It's not easy to show a body, a mother's body, a body without a filter, with any makeup on it at all, and not aesthetic or aestheticized, shall we say. What happened was, or aesthetically treated. This happened in Buenos Aires. We were not allowed to show it in certain film theaters because it went against family values. Here on the beach today, everyone was showing their breasts. They were topless. In Argentina, they put you in jail if you know if you're topless at a beach or anywhere. So that we've still got a lot of work to do in Argentina to show a body. Not a perfect body, and I think that's the most beautiful thing there is, to show a body which is truly of a real woman. Sofía has shown the carnality and the seduction that I feel is cinematographic truth. When I can portray a body like that, when I manage, it's a real cinematographic truth, showing when she was breastfeeding, it showed that there was that was true. So therefore, I think it's a very powerful way. Sofía was saying the people are much more beautiful when they're naked than when they're dressed up, and that's where she allowed me to work with her body. And the other, and as references, well, from a documentary standpoint, none. Not at all. The reference from where we started was Schindelman by Shantar Lakatlam, just a year before, after her death, so therefore I felt very, very influenced by Chantal. And perhaps insisting upon this documentary, perhaps it'd be good for you to tell us, Sofía, to tell us what's the experience of working with non-professional actors, where you say that many of the women that appeared weren't professional. Yes, it was marvelous because we were all, I think that the incredible thing of the film was the commitment that we all undertook, that is, from the most professional actors to the people who wanted to work with us. We were all committed to tell the story, and this way it's always easy to work with commitment and with the will and dedication and with the will to tell the story. I think that all of us, not only me, that I literally showed my gave my body to it, but it's a film which is very physical because we all put our bodies into it. Anaí started the film and she had a problem in her leg halfway through the film. She shot the film in a wheelchair, so therefore it all really moved us all, physically speaking, and spiritually, this film. That's right, yes. And Javier also, perhaps, from the screenplay point of view, the truth is that the film that has a screenplay, but the truth is you see it, and you see it's quite fascinating when you think about the film. It doesn't seem that there's a screenplay there, or there's no script. And so at the same time, it looks like it's a documentary. Well, it's a bit like everything happens in the performances as well. It's very difficult to perform without seeing if anyone's performing. It's very difficult to construct a script without it seeming that it's being written. But in any case, in Alanis, there's the freshness of truth in it, and against that, there's nothing that you can go against. The truth is we worked upon the script structurally, constructing the journey of this character over that period of time and trying to surround the poor Alanis more and more, and guided by Anahí and her slant and how perspective and how she wanted to construct it, and leaving space and room for these moments that appeared in the shooting of the film, which were already pre-established, but that truth appeared there, yes. Any further questions? Well, I'm going to ask a question, if you think it's a good idea, but it has to do with, there's something in the film, I don't know what anyone told you, I don't know what the reaction was in Toronto, How was the reaction of the audience vis-a-vis the film? But at any time did I tell you that the film doesn't address any type of solution? I imagine you're trying to, but could you explain the whys and whereabouts of that? That is to say, the film gets stuck in that world, leaves the protagonist and the main character in the same position she was in, and could you tell us a bit about the why? Yes, I think that the final scene talks about the solidarity among women. She goes back and finds refuge among women again, and she has no solution, really. I have no idea what the solution is, neither how we could help them, but I imagine when one commits to make a film like this, she wants to make people reflect, put the issue on the agenda for it to be talked about. And it seems to me that that's the role of art, that is, say, art and films to provide solutions. But sometimes everyone's looking for the truth in how it's represented and portrayed. But sometimes, and in this film, we have to portray a reality, a truth. And that's very difficult because, above all, when it's not one's world and one has to be very careful, a lot of respect, and to know how to manage those distances. And I think that was the greatest and most important challenge in the film, that say, to see at what distance you should stop, to not be demagogical, to not judge it. And I think that's the most important side of the script itself and all of our work. Correct me if I'm mistaken, it's the first time. Did you get into a marginal, because your previous film, you worked more with a certain middle class, Argentina. Well, in my first film, One Year Without Love, and where I think that it has certain points of it has more points of contact with that film. Yes, but the other films, Aire Libre, and other films, Encarnación, are others. But when one portrays what something that doesn't belong to you, what's strange, or the other person's approach, not only for me as a director, because generally the people that go to cinema, to films, or it's another person, it's another character, it's someone else, and you have to portray them on the day-to-day, you have to generate identification, and without identification, this film doesn't work. And when one meets another person and we see the reality of the other person, and that starts to mobilizes it, yeah, and it starts to be our own, because it doesn't seem to be an estranged monster. There's something of that the film is intending to do. Finally, the four of you, do you believe that you've learnt things about this world that you knew perhaps superficially or in a very skewed or biased way? Yes, completely, totally. It's changed our perspective, and I hope that'll happen to the audience. And pay attention to it. I think that we put that issue on the agenda, that say for women particularly, it's very important. Yes, it seems that we have another one final question here. Yes, before I leave, I need to ask you this question. It is true that in films, I've seen very few films dealing with prostitution upon sex workers. I think Princesas was done, but specifically dealing with prostitution characters, supporting actors, just like in Alanis, there's Princesas, yes. And there are some films that, only a couple of films that have been deal with this issue and works with people who are true, real prostitutes in Madrid as well. And in this case, my question is, in Latin America, and especially in Argentina, where films have been made of this collective, or whether other films have been made of this collective, similar to Alanis, not characters, not, shall we say, supporting characters, no. Tacos Altos, it's called. What's the date? It must be 30 or 40 years old. 30 years easily. Tacos Altos is the name of the film. It's Sergio Renal is the director of the film. With Sasu Pecoraro, I think it's at least 30 years old. That's the latest film that deals with the issue of prostitution. Well, we wanted to get rid of the cliche of what a prostitute is or who a prostitute is. Of course, in TV, the prostitute is portrayed more, but always from a very stereotype sort of way and very close to the victim always. Okay, well, if there are no further questions. Thank you very much to the four of you, and good luck with the film.